Friends, before I pray this morning, I want to remind us that November 10th is an important day in the life of our church. November 10th is the day that we go to two worship services at 9 and 11 a.m. Now, why am I reminding you right now? We are finding different times in each worship service to tell you, because the last 2 weeks, folks have shown up at 9 a.m. for worship. Of course they have, right? We said it. So what I want to say is remind your friends, remind your neighbors, tell people that you know. We launch on the 10th for 9 and 11. Now, a couple of things about that. One is, if you want to know when kids' times are, when student ministry is, all that kind of stuff, there's an FAQ on our website. There's also an FAQ out at the Connection Corner, a piece of paper you can take. I want to encourage you to do that. In addition to that, I want to encourage you to sign up to volunteer. We're going to need more folks to volunteer because we're going to have more opportunities to volunteer. So your connection card is your friend, but also our website is. And I want to encourage you to do that now. I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. That you would open our minds to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. God, help us deal with this werewolf inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in this series, I said it in the beginning of worship, Monsters in Broad Daylight, where we're looking at the monsters in our life that steal life from us, that steal joy from us. The monsters that keep us from living the way that Jesus wants us to live. They're the things, and maybe they're subtle sometimes, but they're the things that really steal energy from us. They're the things that keep us from being able to move forward. Last week, we talked about our past. We used the demon as the monster, the thing that tells us that our past defines our future, and there is no way that we can move forward because of our past. And we said that Christ has the power to tame that demon. Jesus has the power to help us walk through that and move past our past. And today, we're looking at the werewolf. Now, I have to tell you, the werewolf was not originally scheduled for this Sunday, but this week is a full moon. So we thought it was appropriate to go ahead and try to deal with this one. Now, I did not know a lot about werewolves, but I've done some research recently. And unlike a vampire, where the way you become a vampire is your bit, there are actually three ways that you can become a werewolf. Ooh, right? One way that you can become a werewolf is to be bitten by another werewolf. So watch out. Keep your eyes out. Make sure that doesn't happen. Another way, and this isn't a way you become a werewolf, I guess it sort of is, when you're born into a werewolf family. So check your family, right? Make sure they're not werewolves, right? That's something. And the third way, and this was the thing I didn't know about, you can be cursed to become a werewolf. So check your friends, right? Make sure that you have the right people around. You may say, Tim, how do you know so much about werewolves? Well, Google knows a lot, right? And it can tell me a lot of information about it. But seriously, the werewolf is that thing inside of us that comes out when we don't want it to. It's that thing inside of us that comes out and causes pain. It's that thing inside of us that we're almost embarrassed about, that we're shocked sometimes comes out, even though it comes out again and again and again. See, in movies, it only comes out, a werewolf does, when it's a full moon and you see it and you're like, oh no, this is happening. But see, friends, we have full moons in our lives that happen all the time. And unlike you looking at the calendar and saying it's scheduled, a lot of times our full moon comes out when we're not expecting it. Let me dial it down a little bit. One way that the werewolf comes out is through anger. Anybody can resonate with that? The rest of y'all? Right, I know when it's happening. Right, I'm not coming home going, I'm gonna be angry today, but I sense it. Like I feel it welling up. And I go, oh, this is gonna be a doozy. It's happening. See, for me, sometimes mine comes out. I was trying to think of ways this week. When does my anger come out? Sometimes it comes out when people ask a question that I've already answered. Well, anybody else resonate with that? You're like, we already talked about that. Yeah, somebody's in the back raising their hand. Yep. Sometimes it comes out when I come home and I've had a tense day or I'm exhausted and there's a string of kids' shoes all the way somewhere. or there's stuff just laying around, or you look at your countertops and there's just little specks of food all over. Some of y'all are like, I'm okay with that. But those are ways that I know when anger's coming out. And see, here's the problem. Jesus talks extensively about anger in the Bible. He talks extensively about the way that anger can cause pain and hurt. So it's something, it's a werewolf we have to deal with. Here's another way that it manifests itself, through gossip and criticism. Those of you that don't have anger, is that one that you deal with? Gossip and criticism. Now, I put them in the same category because our words can cause lots and lots of pain, right? Our words can hurt people. Our words that we throw out, the way we say things. I want you to imagine this scenario for a minute. You have a friend that comes up to you and they tell you they got a new job, maybe in your company, and you don't actually feel like they're qualified for the job, but you look at them and you say, that's so great. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome. And then 10 minutes later, another friend of yours that works in the company walks around and they say, can you believe that Sandy got that job? And you're like, right? She is terrible for that. She's going to be awful for that. I want you to think about that moment where you've cut the person down and you've caused pain and they're not even there. Where your werewolf has come out and you maybe didn't plan for it to come out, but because that person came over and said that to you, out comes the werewolf. You release it and it's already giving pain to others. The third way that it manifests itself is through complaining. Now, I know this is going to grab some more of y'all. Complaining about anything. All you need to do is get on social media as a parent when the school has done one new thing. Doesn't matter what it is. We're starting school 30 seconds later. I can't believe it. All you gotta do is change your worship times at church. Woo! I mean, sweet baby Jesus, right? I mean, we are a culture of complainers. And unfortunately, sometimes it just becomes the norm for us. It's not even a full moon deal. It's like, well, today's a day that ends in Y. I got to find something to complain about. And what I want to say, friends, is complaining is that werewolf that comes out that pulls you down as well as everybody else. Everybody else. If I have a culture of complaining in my family system, it robs joy. If I have a culture of complaining in my workplace, it keeps us from being the best people that we're called to be. So complaining is one of those things that those words can come out of my mouth and they're not helpful and they can actually cause harm. I think that each of these can come out sometimes at the same time, which is really bad, but they can come out at different times and they can come in an unexpected way. And you can find yourself in one of these places and you go, my word, how did I get there? How did that werewolf come out today? Or maybe you're building up days after days after days. You're tired. You're not getting enough sleep. Maybe we're at a place where things at work have gotten so challenging that the werewolf is just constant. We forget who we were, and everybody else knows that we're a werewolf. Everybody around you knows it, and maybe they're afraid to say something. Jesus talks about this in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 12th chapter. He deals with this concept of the werewolf. Now, he doesn't call it a werewolf. You actually won't find that word in the Bible. But he deals with this concept of our insides and how they come out and how they should portray who we are. So I want to look at Matthew 12, 33 to 37 right now. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Whew. That's clear, right? I mean, Jesus is pretty clear here. He's just finished this conversation with the Pharisees before he shares this. And the Pharisees are the religious leaders of the time that are trying to push back on Jesus and say, this new way that you're defining about love, which by the way is the always way, but they're saying this new way that you're defining about love doesn't really line up with our understanding of laws. So Jesus, you're getting it wrong. And they're pushing back on him over and over and over again. They're trying to trap him because he's questioning and he's challenging much of the ways that they're saying that you should live out this life. So Jesus is pushing back and saying, your words will match your inside. The things you say are a vision of what's going on in the inside. They represent us. So when you say hurtful things, when you say harmful things, when you lash out, understand that that's what's going on in your inside. And it's like giving people a picture of your heart. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? That's tough when that's what the text is saying. That's tough when that's what Jesus is saying. How we react to others in situations represents who we are on the inside. And then Jesus says something that makes me uncomfortable here. I don't know if anybody else got uncomfortable. But when he says there'll be a day, and I imagine it's a day like a video that plays back, where you get to watch all the words and the harmful things you said played out. And listen, I want to be clear about something. I don't think Jesus means that that determines whether or not you get to spend eternity with Jesus. I think that's more about Jesus than it is about us. But here's what I do think it means. I think it means that there is a day where we'll be reminded of the harmful things that we did, of the hurtful things that we said. And I don't want that day to be embarrassing. I don't want to be a person that's what my life is defined by. What Jesus seems to be saying is if we begin to change our inside, our outside words will begin to change. Amen? If we begin to change our inside, if we begin to transform what's going on in here, then we'll say kinder things. If we begin to change our inside, we won't complain as much. We won't offer so much criticism. See, when I watched movies, I always thought that what the werewolf wanted was for the full moon to go away. I don't think that's true. I think what the werewolf actually wants is to stop being a werewolf, independent of the full moon. Do you see the difference there? One is to say that there's nothing that ever comes into our life that triggers us, and there's another to say that when things trigger us, we're able to live a life that's glorifying to God. I think that's what we should long for. The werewolf should want to be himself with a full moon or not. We want our outside to reveal who Christ is to the world because our inside has been transformed and changed. Now, there are some real practical ways that we can do, and I've been trying to name this over the last few weeks, especially as we're talking about small groups and times to connect with others. And I want you to hear this because I think it's really, really important. I need to hear this. One, the first thing that we can do is we can start spending more time with God. And I really mean that. I find that the deeper I go in my relationship with God, when I am in seasons of depth, when I am in seasons where I sense that I'm praying more, when I'm in seasons where I'm meditating more, when I'm in seasons where I'm in community with other people more, I find that the werewolf is easier to tame. I find that I speak more kindly to people. I find that I share more joy with the world when that's happening. When I'm coming off of a mission trip, for example, man, I am so filled with gratitude. I am so filled with joy, and I want to share that with the world. When I'm coming off a trip with people in our church, I am filled with that joy and want to share that with the world. When I'm spending more time in prayer, I don't seem to have nearly the same problems with the werewolf. When that's all happening, spending time with God and others who push us towards God actually help us reveal Christ more to the world. It's a simple fact. It just does. I've said it time and time again. The more I pray for someone, the less I can speak negatively about them. The more I pray for someone, the less harsh I can be. The more I pray for someone, the more I believe that they are a created child of God. And that's an important distinction, friends. Again, look at the beginning of this passage. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. We want to become people of good fruit, and the way to do that is to attend to the tree. Attend to the inside, attend to the parts of us that have a tendency to be neglected and therefore produce bad fruit. Pay attention. Henry Cloud, if you don't know who that is, he's a psychologist that's written some really interesting things on boundaries. And he writes in this book, Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life. And I was really struck by this book. I read it years ago, but I pulled it out again recently. I think we all have this desire to take control of our lives. We all want that. We want to be in control. We don't want to be out of control. And that's where Cloud's work really helps us. We don't want to be people. The werewolf is out of control. If we're really honest, the werewolf is something that we're not controlling. We don't want to be people that are controlled by the werewolf. We want to be free from it. And in this book, he talks about how to take control of your life by setting boundaries, and the importance of those boundaries in relationships, the importance of those boundaries with yourself, the importance of those boundaries in how you connect with God and what that does. And he talks about this concept of modeling. He says, if you don't want to be a person that's angry, model peace. If you don't want to be a person that's gossiping and critical, model non-gossiping. So if you're in by the water cooler, I don't know if anybody actually has water coolers anymore, but if you're in by the water cooler and people are talking nasty about somebody, say something positive about that person. Change the conversation, change it. When we model, what happens is one of two things are gonna happen. Other people who are complaining or criticizing or gossiping are gonna say, we can't hang out with that person anymore. They're too kind. Okay. Or what's gonna happen is you're gonna change the people around you. You're gonna change the werewolf within other people and they're gonna start to be transformed because you model really, really good things. Don't join anger. Don't join complaining. Don't join criticizing and gossiping. Pay attention to that. I'm part of a small group of pastors, and we try to talk every single week. It's friends of mine. We've been in this group for 7 years. And we razz each other, and we get on each other, and we do all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, one of the things we do in every single conversation we have is we encourage each other. We call each other out when we're saying things that we shouldn't be saying, and we support one another and we walk with one another. I encourage you to find those people in your life. Whoever can do that for you, can help you, that is a boundary you can set. Find those people who encourage you. I actually think that throughout Scripture, God models boundaries for us. God sets standards for us. God doesn't make us do anything, but sets standards for how we live. In the whole Ten Commandments, they're not actually rules. The Ten Commandments are not these laws that if you don't follow, you know, you're not gonna get into heaven. Absolutely not. They're boundaries. Boundaries for how we live in community and in relationship together. They're boundaries for how we love one another. Because God thinks boundaries are important. Not important from a perspective of who's in and who's out. Important from a perspective of living in community with one another. How do we do that together? Finally, I think we have to set our own internal limits. Maybe we create buzzwords, safe words, buzz thoughts, where when you catch yourself complaining, you're like, okay, I've got to stop it. I've got to do this thing. If you catch yourself with your kids and you're super angry, maybe your partner, if you have a partner in your relationship, they give you a timeout. Oh man, my wife and I, when the kids were little, we used to tap out all the time. Like one of us would come and be like, I think you need some space. I think you need some time. And that's a healthy thing. Give yourself a timeout. Parents, what a gift. In your relationships with your partner, give yourself a timeout. Be okay with saying, I need to take a step back. Create that space in your life. Now, you can't stay there forever. You got to address things. But there is a way that you can set a boundary to take a step back. If I find myself in gossip, I should catch myself and stop the conversation right there, and I should name it. I should say, hey, I'm gossiping right now, and I should stop. I should name that. That is a boundary. That is a safe word that I put in place. That is a buzz. That is a conversation. When I'm complaining, I wish there'd be people in my life, and I say it to all of you. If you hear me complaining, name it. Say it. I will take that accountability. I even say that in my household. Susan, you're allowed to say it. Only a few times, but you're allowed to say it. Because I think in the end, it all comes down to the problem Jesus has with the Pharisees, with these religious leaders. His problem is that they're about rules and he's about love. That's the issue that he's running into, and that's the issue that we run into in our lives. We need to be people of love. And when the werewolf comes out, it is not love coming out. If anyone is screaming at you, I am telling you that is not love. And I'll be very clear about that. If you are screaming at someone else, that is not showing love to someone else. Sometimes I think we have this fear of love because of the vulnerability that it's part of. Sometimes I think we have this fear of love because we think that if we love somebody too much, we enable them. Sometimes we have this fear of love because what love actually requires is that we surrender. We surrender our way of doing things. We surrender our thing. We surrender the werewolf. We say, okay, today I'm not letting the werewolf come out because we're afraid of it. But friends, the very image of God in the person of Jesus is one of surrender. The very image of God in the person of Jesus is one of saying, I'm not going to use anger to be my thing. The very image of God in the person of Jesus is one of not complaining. The very image of God in the person of Jesus is one of relationship. Jesus could have come up and just said, I'm the Son of God, do exactly what I say to every single person. But he doesn't do that because what Jesus recognizes is that the fruit on the outside is demonstrative of what's going on the inside. He wants people to see the goodness of God inside of him. And I think that's what we all want to. On your seats today, you have these cards. I hope you can see them. And you can see we're starting to create this banner around the room. And I wonder if you might think for a minute or two. I wonder if you might think, is there's one of those categories, and maybe you're just going to write a word, anger, maybe you're going to write criticism, gossip, you're going to write complaining. Or maybe there's a situation that you recognize as your full moon. Anytime this happens, anger just rages. Maybe there's somebody, there's a name you want to write on the back of this. By the way, nobody's going to read these. They're going to be put up, but as you can see, the words aren't on the front side. Maybe it represents some person, and you want to write a name that whenever you see that person or experience that person, it pushes you into a place of unhealth. But I want you to reflect a moment today. What are your werewolf moments? How do they come out? Maybe you write a word on there of how you want to work to tame it. Maybe a promise to yourself, something that you're going to do. Because my prayer for us as a church is not the building, a church is the people, is that we become people whose fruit is so good that others can't help but want to find out what it's about. That we're growing towards that, that we're growing in that. What if what people said about Crossroads is that's a church that's full of love? What if they didn't talk about our programs, they didn't talk about all the things we did, and instead they said, that's a church that's full of love. That it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your story is, they're gonna love you. And they're gonna love you in real, intentional ways. That's what I long for our church. That's what I long for our individual relationships. That's what I long for myself, is this idea of love. So I want to give you a few moments to write down some of these things. Just take a couple minutes. When you come for communion, you can place them in the baskets, but do the work, because you got to name the werewolf before you can deal with it. You got to put it out there. Write it down. Put the stuff down on the paper and turn it in. There's something intentional about that, and bring it forward. Because I know that some people disagree with me on this, but I actually believe that this church can change the world. With all of who I am, I believe that you are people who can transform the world. But let's start with us before we go out there and try to transform others. Amen. Amen. Amen.